Danger. The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Cake and grief counseling will be available at the conclusion of the test.
She's alive! Alive!
Maybe you should put some shorts on or something if you want to keep fighting evil today.
Why not just put a stake through her heart?
She's not a vampire.
Well, you'd be surprised how many things that'll kill.
We are now seeing the beginnings of another stage of human evolution. At last, we can retire and give up this life of crime.
You and your training wheels.
Hailing frequencies are open.
Hello, sweetie.
Commencing countdown. T-5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ian and Baltic science fiction and fantasy. Since you're all here, you probably read what was written about what this is supposed to be about. There's something about Stanislaw Lem and Carl Čapek, but I won't read that. I'm just going to make one comment that the other world at Worldcon panels. I think there's one in France. There's one on Canada. So they're all about sort of semi-whole countries, cultures. And this, with Eastern Europe and the Baltics, this is many languages, many cultures. So it's a much more complex, many more complex issues, I think. So we are not going to be able to give due credit to it tonight, but we'll try. So as I said, my name is Michael Buryanik. I'm, it doesn't matter who I am, I'm just the moderator. The important people are sitting here at the panel. So we have Stanislaw Krupczyk, who's from Warsaw and currently writing his PhD about Polish fandom in the 1980s and 90s. His academic interests include sociology of literature, especially fantastic prose, computer games, tabletop RPGs. In fandom, he's a member of staff at Poltergeist, the portal about fantastic and popular culture, and works at the fan association Avangarda, coordinating the popular academic program at Polish conventions. He's also participating in two other panels, and he did an academic presentation this morning. The Strange Case of Communism and Capitalism, Social Frames of Fantastic Literature in Poland. And it was a very good one. I saw it this morning. Next to him is Irena Rašeta, is a Croatian writer and an editor and works in digital marketing as a content manager for online media. She graduated from the University of Zagreb with specialties in history and Spanish language and literature. She's translated books from English and graphic novels from Spanish. She's an editor and chief and owner of NOSF, collaborative blog that covers science fiction topics and Croatian science fiction fandom. On Saturday, that's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in the evening, she'll be participating in another panel, Saving the World, All of It, that will discuss why aliens always seem to invade New York. And next to her is Ivo Shmelov, who's born in Bulgaria and has been a German resident since 2001. He earned a major in English studies and minored in American studies and geography at Goethe University in Frankfurt. Topic of his MA thesis was Imagining Globality, Imagining Transformation, Reconfigurations of the Future in English Language Science Fiction from Canada, India, and Ireland. Since 2011, he's been working on a dissertation tentatively entitled Enemies and Partners in Future Histories, Cultural Differences in Armed Conflicts, and Anglophone science fiction, again at Goethe University. He'll be participating in two other panels, and on Monday in the morning, he's presenting an academic presentation from a galactic war to a hydrogen sonata, Warfare and Ethics in the Culture Novels of our guest of honor, Ian M. Banks. And finally, we have Imants Belogrīs, who's from Latvia. In the last 5 years, large Latvian publishing houses have been starting to take an active part in SF, which has allowed him to be active in writing overviews and criticism on world science fiction and fantasy and taking part in workshops of new writers. He has been, however, mostly devoted to writing a Latvian science fiction fantasy encyclopedia. He runs the publishing house Hecate and is working to finish an anthology of Latin SF and half English. So that's enough about all of us, I think. So I have some prepared questions, which we'll go through. And towards the end, perhaps the last 10 minutes or so, I can ask questions from the audience. Okay? So for the first question is, oh, and we didn't get our flip chart.
We didn't, yeah.
Indeed.
Too late.
Okay, I'd ask for a flip chart so we can write things down, but we didn't get it. So
we can spell out the names.
Yeah. So the question is, who are the Eastern European and Baltic science fiction fantasy writers to watch out for? Or even better, who are the ones that deserve to be translated into English, and what has been translated? So, Snedinslav, could you start, please?
Yeah, I could. Can you hear me? Okay. In Poland, you may have heard about Stanisław Lem and about Andrzej Sapkowski, whose novels are being translated right now at a fast pace because of the Witcher games. Those are probably the two best-known Polish writers right now. Lem died, Sapkowski still alive. There is also Jacek Dukaj, a younger writer born in 1974. There is a Wikipedia entry about him, and it gives a list, a short list of English translations of his stories. I think at least one of them has been translated by Michael Kandel, so the same translator who translated Stanisław Lem, and apparently a very good one. So this might be worth checking out. Jacek Dukaj, and I suppose we'll all be able to give you the names after the panel in original spellings and things like that. And there are also three interesting writers, Witrzostak, Szczepan Twardo, Łukasz Orbitowski, three writers who haven't been translated into English. I think that no stories by them have been translated so far. I may be wrong, but maybe one or two exceptions, no more. And they all three have had their novels nominated to a literary award called Nike, Nagroda Nike, an award that's given to works of prose, not just fantastic prose, but prose in general. This is an interesting thing, I think, because it shows that some of fantastic writers in Poland are moving across the border between fantastic and non-fantastic fiction.
I've authorized myself to talk not only about Croatian science fiction, but also about ex-Yugoslavian countries, because, well, I was born during Yugoslavia and now I live in Croatia. So I did a little research so I can put some names also there. You probably, hopefully, heard of Zoran Živković, who is a Serbian fantasy writer, and he won World Fantasy Award in 2003. So we can say he's probably the most famous one from our region. But also there's Alexander Žiljak, who is translated in many languages, including Chinese, in Turkish, I don't know, German, and a lot of other languages. And I would like to point out Darko Matson, who is mainly famous for his work in comics, because he did a lot of Star Wars and for DC Comics, I think, or Marvel, I'm not sure, I'm sorry. I'm talking about Croatian authors right now. And I would put out the name of Milena Benini. She also writes in English herself, so she's not translated in English, but she writes in English. For Serb authors, I can point out to Oto Ltvanji, Goran Skrobanja, Pavle Zelić. There are a lot of people writing, so I'm just putting out names. And anybody who is interested, I can write it out later. We in Croatia, during the last few years, we are doing a lot of work to present our authors to European fandom and world fandom. So we did a couple of fanzine, translated a couple of fanzines with stories of creation authors. I even have some of the some of them here, so anybody interested can get a copy for free. We also did Eurocon two years ago, and for the Eurocon we published an anthology of creation science speculative fiction in English, which we handed out to the participants of our convention. Unfortunately, it's gone now in paperback, but we have an ebook available, so anybody who is interested can also get an address later. So I'm like Michael said at the beginning, it's a huge region to cover, and there are a lot of languages, a lot of countries, different styles, different themes covered, and it's a shame we don't get just one panel on this.
Talking about Bulgaria, Bulgarian science fiction and speculative fiction too has a rather long story which begins somewhere in the 20s. I'm not going to go into the history now of the whole thing, but I'll just mention several important authors that have become very well known. First of all, Lubin Dilov, the elder, the father, because his son also became a writer afterwards, who actually even won a Eurocon special award for literature in 1976 for his novel The Way of Icarus, which, if I remember, was also even made into a into an animated film later on. He's also written several other very prominent works of science fiction, for instance, The Atomic Human, and The Weight of the Spacesuit later on in the 80s. Another very famous writer in Bulgaria is Pavel Vezhinov, some of whose stories, especially one which I would, whose title I would translate very easily to On an Autumn Day Along the Mountain Road, is even taught at schools, in gymnasiums and high schools, because it's considered part of modern Bulgarian literary canon. He has basically several novellas, one of which, The Barrier, was made also into a film, but this time an actual live-action film. And most of this science fiction written by these two main authors and several others, like Lubomir Nikolov and a couple of others, during the totalitarian regime between 1945 and 1989, these have been stories basically more with a flair for psychology and social interaction rather than being hard science fiction stories as we know them from the birthplaces of modern English language science fiction, the UK and the USA. Currently, there are also several authors that would perhaps be very interesting to read, although due to the ongoing economic difficulties and so on, financial crisis all over the world, especially in Bulgaria as well, these are difficult to find marketing outside in the English-speaking world specifically. I could say, for instance, that an older living author whom I mentioned, Lubomir Nikolov, is still writing. Other people, I have to quickly consult my list, Bujidar Gruzdanov, Adrian Lazarovsky, and several other people who are writing all sorts of speculative fiction, horror, science fiction, fantasy, and so on. They're currently publishing, but have not found some sort of breakthrough out here in the Western world.
You finished?
Yeah.
Okay. Isud, please. My English is not so perfect. Possibly I look in my notes, yeah? And I just wanted to start with some small premise about that. If they are young writers, this is the right place, London, I mean, to start write science fiction, because it's a very displaced on this planet. When you stake on a platform, yeah, in a midnight, you can't understand how to get to your point. Everyone, Jewish peoples, Muslims, and Hindus, are showing you the absolutely different positions. It's wonderful. Yesterday, it took me 3 hours to get to my point. It's wonderful place. I now start understand the reality why George Wells was born here. Really, believe me. Yes, I didn't talk too much about specific Latvian science fiction. I just want to say, because it's for this audience, it was told that I represent Baltic science fiction. I know that Estonians are going more or less well, but they are very close community. They are not interested in other peoples. Mostly, I was connected with Lithuanians, and there is a good news that 2008, the main publishing house, Eridanas in Lithuania, nearly went in bankruptcy, but as I know, they have started a new, and actually they are in good health. If you are talking about Latin, which I represent, yeah, there's just one science fiction publishing house in Latvia, that's me, personally. I'm one-man band. Yeah, it's called Hecate. Yeah, as you remember, it's an old goddess, Greek, yeah? Not very active last years, because I have some personal financial problems. But anyway, we are trying to do something. And my main thesis was following. The good news is that in the last 10 years, we have a pleiad, approximately 20-25 new authors who write science fiction and fantasy in fantasy genre. Approximately 60% is female. The bad news is, which I don't like, me personally, everyone is going to the fantasy genre, which I personally don't like in last years, because on my personal opinion, fantasy genre is dead. No, really, really. It was very interesting, because half a century ago, when you was a hippie underground, it was very interesting when you was reading Tolkien and you was have a book on your as a backpacker, yeah. Nowadays, on my personal opinion, it's absolutely dead end, because this Manichaean problem, black and white, good or bad, is dead. Why? Because, as we know, and even George Martin told it, underlines in his series of his novel last, yeah, that not that there is no illusions. You have just a mundane, and that's all. Every day you have a problems. More or less, no good future. You cannot finish approximately 60 years old. You try to tell the stories that, and in the next morning, they wake up and find out that it's a sunny day. No sunny day tomorrow. forget about it. You must find your, as a hitchhiker, you must find your personal guide in the future, because it's not a bride. This is what I wanted to say.
Okay, good. Now, one thing I forgot to tell everybody is that this panel is being recorded by the Skiffy and Fanti show podcast. So when we do get to the audience participation part, if that's going to bother you, then you probably shouldn't participate. So anyway, you've been warned. So the next question is, one of the things that I noticed about the panel is we don't have any representatives from Ukraine or Russia, which are definitely big parts of Eastern Europe. Now, that would have been really interesting, but that didn't happen. But there's the Ukrainian writers, Serhiy and Mirena Dyachenko, reportedly are quite popular in Eastern Europe and the Baltics, and are translated. And so that just led me to wonder, how often is other Eastern European Baltic literature translated and published within the region? Along with that, is there any one national literature from the region that dominates? Or is there a tradition of sharing equally across the region? Stanislav?
Ukrainian writers are indeed published in Poland. The Dyachenko siblings, Vladimir Arieniev from Ukraine, Arieniev was also a guest at the convention BIRCON in March this year in Poland.
Here at WorldCon as well.
Oh, he's here too. Yeah. All right. And also Olga Gromyko from Belarus visited BIRCON in March. She has also been translated. Other writers that my notes are telling me about are Dmitry Głuchowski from Russia, or Miroslav Żamboch from the Czech Republic. So we do have translations from other countries in the region, but mostly it's still English translations. I mean, Anglo-Saxon, American mostly, possibly. And also, as to the second part of your question, Michael, I suppose it might be hard for us to say if there is one tradition. At least it's hard to say for me if there is one national tradition that dominates the region, because I have to admit that I don't know very much about other countries in my region. That might be a problem in itself. I don't know if you are facing the similar problem. You
probably
answer
the question that there isn't one culture that dominates. If you don't know anything else, then it doesn't exist.
It might be so. It's probably also a question in itself. Why don't I know much about these countries? Why do I know Anglo-Saxon markets somewhat better than the Ukrainian market for one? Maybe it's a linguistic matter, the fact that the English language is much easier to come across and it's much more frequent as a language that people in my country learn. Possibly. Or possibly there are other reasons.
Unfortunately, in Croatia, I mean, we do get publishers to publish speculative fiction of all sorts, but unfortunately not remotely enough for avid readers. Usually, if it's not Anglo-American, if it's not maybe Western European, it's not translated. With the exception, for example, with Dmitry Głuchowski and his novel Metro 2033. So, as a fan base, we do read a lot in English, and so whatever is translated to English can be read also. So we have a bigger connection to Western European and American, maybe, science fiction than to Eastern European.
I'd like to also address another kind of historical thing that, of course, we all know, the big change in 1989, where all the regimes toppled and the Berlin Wall fell and everything else. In the period after World War II until 1989, there was a clear, so to say, main influence, specifically on Bulgaria. I think that the other Eastern European Baltic countries also had a similar thing. And that influence was not cultural, however. It was a devised ideological influence on speculative fiction of all sorts, specifically on science fiction, because science fiction was seen as a sort of a realistic tool to show us the future, the bright so-called communist future, because it probably didn't have anything with communism, as you know, Marx wrote about it. But that is a sort of a historical overview of things. After 1989, and specifically from the beginning of the 1990s onwards, a very huge wave of translating Western literature that was not translated in Bulgaria before basically swept over the market. There is also a very interesting anecdote that I might tell later on, if we have the time, about translating, covertly Western literature and selling it in Bulgaria before 1989, but that's a specific story that is probably not related to any other country in the region.
It is related to Poland, I suppose.
It might have been that. We can compare, of course, notes afterwards. This is always interesting. Yeah. The thing is, this wave of translation and publishing that swept everything, specifically science fiction. There is one publishing house in Bulgaria called simply Bard, which is still publishing very current translations of novels that are being currently released in the Western Hemisphere, more or less, and specifically focusing on English language science fiction. But the translation of other authors from the region have basically diminished very strongly after 1989. Before that, we had regular editions of Stanislav Lem, of the Strugatsky brothers' novels. The name that you mentioned, Joran... what was it? I've only heard that name several times only in my life.
Zivkovic?
Yeah.
Zivkovic,
I think he was also translated fairly regularly, as well as other authors from all over the place. But right now we get into translation basically only what is somehow connected to video game blockbusters. Andrei Sapkowski is there. The Metro 2033 novels are there. But anything else sort of falls under the radar somehow. And partially with Russian language fiction, because very large portions of the population still can read Russian, which was taught in a lot of schools during the time. So a clear dichotomy there, historically speaking.
If I can just speak for a second. Unfortunately, when you talk about Eastern Europe, you can't escape the politics. So.
Yeah.
During Yugoslavia, before the 90s and before the war, and there were a lot of publishing of science fiction of all sorts, Western European, Russian, French, and everything. And when then war came, unfortunately, and everything from the East became quite unpopular. So it was kind of a shift in opinion, let's say. So there was a lot of Western influence from that point on, a lot more than was before. So it's difficult to talk about science fiction in Eastern Europe, especially in the Balkans. You have to always talk about before and after periods.
Quite true.
So you have an additional date apart from 1989 to include.
Yeah. There's a lot of history, and there's a lot of history before the war, history after the war, and everything in between.
Emons?
Yeah, thank you. From my personal opinion, I can't understand what we are talking about, because if you are looking professionally on this item, I mean, Anglo-American science fiction and East European and East European or Baltic, if you like, so say, there is no reason to talk about because nobody knows what it is. For Anglo-American readers, we looks like alien, absolutely. Nobody knows what it is. Because Western publishing companies are not willing to publish, because first of all, you take a lot of money, more or less, yeah? I'm as a publisher, I can tell you. It needs some investment. Plus, another interesting story is, here I exclude British peoples. British peoples are a little bit open. Not American readers. American readers like the sham. I don't have anything about, for example, for Robin Hobb, whom I know personally, for maybe one or two other writers, but I hope I will try to explain our common position, yeah,
mm-hmm.
against Anglo-American position.
Us against them.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's say compared, not against, because.
No. It's against because they didn't know us. They did know us. For example, I like very much Francophonian science fiction, yeah, Canadian Francophonians. But I don't read in French. I read in English. Yeah, there is a problem for me personally to find. But I know perfectly well. When I read, for example, Elizabeth Vonnebourg or Yves Maynard or Jules Champetit, I can take another person. Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a specific smell in science fiction. It's more specific, even, in my opinion, even in French, continental French people didn't write so they are doing. What I'm trying to tell with this, every this country, Eastern countries, also have some specific smell. If you don't translate it on English, you'll never find this aroma. Never. It's very specific for Bulgarians, for Polish peoples, anywhere. Yeah. It's like a wine. It's like a wine. Every country has its own special wine. Even in science fiction.
Okay.
May I have just one brief comment?
Sure.
I've been thinking about what you said, Ivo, and what you said made me realize that in this one specific way, the fall of socialism across Europe in 1989 was a bad thing in that it broke the connections between other countries in between the countries in our region. And for instance, when I'm writing a PhD about the Polish fantastic fiction, I have problems comparing this kind of fiction to that of other countries in my region, because I don't know the language, I don't know the people from those countries, and so on. And this breaking of connections, it seems, is... Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say already, I suppose, so I just stop.
Could we perhaps say, for instance, that we have a sort of a translation problem here, that the transitional periods from this totalitarian regimes that we had into open markets and so on, they actually hit the translation industry, because we still need actual people to translate things. If you try to translate a novel with Google Translator, you fail miserably.
Yeah.
Precisely, that's what I was thinking.
They don't do that already. I wouldn't have known.
I hope no one does. because the thing is, we have so many languages, and as Iman says, the idea is, in order to translate the actual cultural aroma, as you call it,
yeah.
The beautiful thing about a specific culture, yeah?
Natural smell.
You have to have professionals.
Yeah.
And these professionals, the translators, they were hit precisely by this transitional period and by all these crises that we've had ever since. And we're all losing because of this. Because,
absolutely,
as you said,
absolutely.
Connections
are separate. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even when the language isn't a barrier, for example, between Croatia and Serbia, there's a mutually understandable language, so we can speak and read and everything with no barriers. There's still this thing called the market, and it's difficult sometimes. We are in a small area, but we are like we are divided. There's no market to share the books, to share the I mean, there is, but it's cost the money. So it's also, I mean, we broke the connections, and like now we're trying to connect again through the market, through the going to the conventions, meeting people again, and stuff like that.
Okay. The next question I want to ask before I go to the audience, and actually, Irene, you may be the only one that can answer this one, so...
Maybe...
Well, I would...
If you allow, because I have a special moment.
Okay.
About science fiction, yeah.
I all mean. Right, go ahead.
Don't mind, please, yeah?
No, okay.
There is no reason to go around and look for... Everyone can tell you names of the national peoples who wrote in science fiction and are famous in their own country. I have another example. One of them is, as my partner said, is Eva Melngalve, who was written last novel called The Dead Never Forgive, and it was national bestseller and so on. Nobody knows about it. But, and there is the most interesting thing, and it's connected with every country we represent. There is a situation when your national author start to write in a foreign language. As a Latvian guy who's possibly American English readership knows, as Tom Crosshill, he was a winner in contest in the Writers of the Future, Ron Hubbard. Plus, in last 2 years, he was nominated 2 times around Nebula nominee. And then starts the poem. Last year, he was nominated as a national young writer. He's approximately 30, 35 years old, yeah? Whom I know personally. I remember him from the schoolyard. Oh. And there was a scandal in the press. How it's possible? How can we are able to nominate as a national writer who never write on Latvia? You see the point, yeah? And of course, he was thrown out of the list. In the end, famous guy, Tom Crosshill, he was published in Lightspeed magazine, internet, how it was, and many others. I just wanted to make a point. I finished quickly, yeah? There is very interesting situation for... I'm talking not about small nations. I'm talking about continental nations. Because no one who is not published in English language. You can take German, French, other one. He is not popular because nobody knows about him. More or less. Nobody. Okay. I can name many names, of course, because I'm professional in this time. Yeah? The situation is following that Anglo-American market is not willing to put inside money, and as I told you previously, they are looking on continental Europeans as an aliens, because they are not going in the same vein. And in the end, what's happening with this young guy? Nobody except him. It was first time in history. Latvian guy was translated from English to Latvian. Absurd. Absolutely, yeah. And I just finished with following. don't forget one thing. For example, that I forget. Sorry.
It's okay. Could
not, suggest, actually, the idea was following that. I must look in my notes. Sorry.
I've been thinking that maybe we should trim ourselves down a bit for the audience.
What I wanted to do, I was just checking outside. There isn't anything after this, so we can go for a few more minutes than the hard cutoff of 10-2. But I want
to
ask.
I just wanted to finish with Oscar Wilde.
Okay.
Because don't forget, please, one thing. Oscar Wilde wrote Salome in French to prove that he is fluent in French. But nobody counts him as a French author. The same problem is with other authors. For example, with a Russian author, Andrei Manike, who is an exile, political exile, in Paris, wrote a novel. My Russian weaknesses or such like that, yes? Or my Russian summers, yeah? And he was the one person. I'm trying to explain what does mean to speak fluently another language and represent, yeah? In all genres, yeah? And he was the one person who received Prix Goncourt and Prix, how it was, which one? Oh, sorry.
I think we can just skip this detail.
Yeah, I think so.
Ba.
I did want to ask.
Yeah. And Fix Medici, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I wanted to ask.
It was the one time in history. I'm finished. Pass-pass-scriptum.
Okay. I agree.
It's our problem about our languages.
It is.
And
okay.
In market.
English language market is a prize in
thank
itself.
Thank you very much. I was talking too much. Sorry.
No, it's not.
But I think there are other problems too. And I'd like Irene to talk a little bit about... there have been controversies in English language science fiction fantasy about the role of women writers. So I'd like to know from her, because we've had some previous discussion about this. I'd like to know, do women writers in Eastern Europe, in the Balkans, do they have a strong voice? And are there any particular problems that they face?
It was my suggestion, this question, actually. So, yeah.
Good suggestion.
I want to talk a little about female writers in general, but in Eastern European, because we do get a strong female voice in our science fiction, our speculative fiction, and it's actually interesting to note that this year I'm in a jury for Sfera Award, its Croatian science fiction award, and we had almost all female winners of the award, and it's interesting to note because it's the percentage of female writers, science fiction writers, around 25%, and the percentage of female award winners is around 40%. So it's a huge thing to notice because we always had a big influence of female writers in both in Yugoslavia and now. And even when they put together the anthology of Croatian science fiction, it's a huge book. When they published it, a kind of tagline was, "Women are silent force of Croatian science fiction, because they didn't publish as much as the men, but they what they did publish, it was superior in style, it was superior in the quality, and this kind of legacy continued after the war. And pretty much fandom in Croatia is run by women, and we do this and you do that, and the guys just do it. And it's
are
kind
you
of
feminist in your country?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting thing to notice, because usually people think, I don't know actually what usual people think, but I think it's important to also hear a female voice from any region, and to have there's a comparison to mainstream writers. There's a similar percentage of female writing in mainstream and science fiction, and in mainstream they only get 2% of them get the awards, and in science fiction 40% of them get the awards. So it's an interesting thing to notice. I don't know how it is in other Eastern European countries. As I said, it's difficult to know what's going on because of the language barrier. But I would like to hear from my counterparts what they have to say. You said you had something to add.
I could add a very quick note to this. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of those totalitarian regime legacies sometimes. An extremely brief personal thing. My own mother is a judge. She's been working as a judge for the past 35 years or so, a position of very great importance. If you look at a lot of societies, democratic societies around the world, you won't see so many female judges, perhaps. In Bulgaria, most of the judges are actually female, but the writers, most of them are male. That is a very peculiar thing. Somehow, this regime said, you know, you could go and do very important positions in society to perform this kind of work, but writing being creative, that's sort of a male territory. And one of the recent anthologies of fantasy, I think, that were released in Bulgaria 4 or 5 years ago, I think, had a total of 34 contributors. Of those, only 5 were female. So the whole situation is changing very slowly, and of course an even greater variety in gender and sexuality is on the rise, but that will take a while because, as we know, culture changes very slowly. Always does.
It's because he only is a Black Sea.
Might be too. You don't know. Women are all swimming in the Black Sea.
No. Okay. So ordinarily we should finish right now, 10 minutes before the hour. But there's, as far as I can tell, there's nobody else coming into this room after. So I think we can maybe use a few minutes to for the audience to ask some questions.
This is very broad, but are there any themes or ideas that are characteristic of the speculative fiction written in
your country? I was actually thinking about that question a couple of days ago. Can I put my finger on a theme or something? It's very difficult because different people have different tastes and different ideas. What's interesting, for example, it's interesting that in Croatia, for example, there's a lot of science fiction and fantasy being written and less horror. And in Serbia, just next door, there's a lot of horror being written and less science fiction, maybe. So there are some trends you go through, maybe. And of course, when the trend in the world is zombies, people are going to be writing about zombies, maybe in Zagreb or something, but zombies nevertheless.
If I can add a pair of words on this theme, European and especially East European science fiction on all literature is very specific. My absolute state of mind is that not everyone, American readership, is able to accept what's going on. Not everyone is ready to accept Kafka, for example.
Not even people in those countries are ready to accept.
Exactly, Europeans is, on my personal opinion, is more open for something new. Continental Europeans, I mean, yeah? For example, we more quicker accept Japanese literature, other kind of literature from every kind, yeah? From all the world. Not Americans. I didn't want to say anything wrong about Americans, but they have a shame. Oh, they know. It must go such and such way. And that's all. Till the mold change.
Yeah. If I can also point out that until mid-90s, a lot of people writing science fiction in Croatia, for example, wrote kind of science fiction Americans did. And they wrote about Davids and Marx and all those American names in space. And it was... I actually started writing at that point, and even for me, it was difficult to imagine a future and even space travel and in our own terms, if you know what I mean. So nowadays, it's okay for me to write about Ivans and I don't know, Borises in space, but until mid-90s, it was very unusual, and I think even readership now has problems with it. So it's kind of learning how to write about your own country, learning how to write about your own people in a genre that's predominantly in your head Anglo-American, if you understand what I mean.
So we're starting to lose our audience. So at least one more question over here.
A lot of recent German science fiction has been concerned with climate change and environmentalism, environmental threats. Is that an issue in Eastern European science fiction, in your different Eastern European science fiction?
I don't think it is in Poland.
Definitely different. On my personal opinion. Every science fiction in Europe, as much more you are going to the East, science fiction is more different.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be melted in the same cup, you must read something different.
Ivo, what do you say?
You know, I think different approaches are based on different cultural upbringing. The ways we tend to rework our traditional cultural knowledge. For instance, what I come from in Bulgaria, there were several short stories published about these folklore characters or folklore elements in science fiction settings that had to do with the idea that a sort of a back to the roots, a cultural return to the previous states of allegedly more or less harmonized existence with nature. These would solve some of our problems that we have with, overdevelopment out of hand, the destruction of particular ecosystems that are highly visible, mountain ecosystems, beach and sea ecosystems, and so on. But the approach to those things came from a sort of a traditional idea, traditional understanding of the fact that, our ancestors, 1,000 years ago, they were fishermen, or they did this and that, and we have to sort of rethink what they had back then in order to solve the problems now. I'm not quite sure whether this is doable. A return to the past is never immediately possible. No time machine. But the thing is that fantasy and science fiction, sort of the combination of folkloric traditional elements into science fiction settings, go at them from that particular viewpoint. And if you look at different cultures all over the Eastern European and Baltic region, you will always find very different traditions, very, very different cultural ways of thinking, and very different, folkloric elements. Naturally.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes, in fantasy also there's a lot of maybe Slavic traditions and let's call them religions, old religions and old gods, and writing about those kinds of themes is very popular, yeah, in fantasy.
Perhaps one more question.
I wanted to ask you, culturally and marketing-wise, do you feel that English writers are being pushed into your culture that the outside cultures are not recognizing your writers equally in the rest of the world?
In one word, yes.
You have, it's not only literature that's influencing, it's also the movies. You have predominantly Anglo-American movies. You can't escape that. It's everywhere. And of course, there's still a lot of people who don't read their native language. They don't want to read science fiction in their native language. Strange to them, so they just go and fetch everything in English, even if it's rubbish. But it's in English, so it must be better than in my native language. There is a lot of this even in nowadays. And although we in Croatia actually we do put a lot of effort into educating people about our science fiction and fantasy and everything else, but there are still a lot of people who are just thinking that everything coming from the West is better than anything that's here. And funnily enough, we in Croatia we have 6 or 7 conventions. We have a large fandom and a large number of happenings throughout the year, and there's 10 or 11 of us here on Worldcon, and 2 girls came from Croatia to Worldcon and they never heard of Croatian cons, and it's so funny to me because you have internet, you have Google, you just Google it in, you know, just put in convention in Croatian and you're gonna find it. So yeah, it you get the sense of being shoved with Anglo-American.
If I may, I just wanted to ask something, because I thought about a book that was published in Poland recently, an academic book called Cultural Elements in English-Polish Translations. I've been thinking that there is an interesting argument in this book. Very briefly, the book suggests that because the Anglo-Saxon culture has a high position in the world cultural system, so to speak, then translations into Polish are likely to treat the faithfulness of the translation as the dominant criterion, more than, for instance, the stylistic quality of the target language. So I think this is one way in which the Anglo-Saxon fiction, the Anglo-Saxon world, influences ours. And the previous answer was a one-liner, a one-word one. There are probably many, many interesting, many sophisticated things that are going on, and it's a wonderful question to spend another hour on unpacking it.
Indeed. And I think with that, I think we'd better quit. I'm sorry. It's been a whole hour.
If you would like to send us hate mail on this episode or any other topics we've covered, you can do so in a number of ways. You can send us an email.
SkiffyandFanty@gmail.com.
You can send us a tweet.
@SkiffyandFanty.
Leave a comment on the blog.
SkiffyandFanty.com.
Go to Google+.
Shawnee Jen.
And or Facebook.
The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro music comes from Time Flux by Revolution Void. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org.
Afraid to face death.
I fart in your general direction.
France, different planet.
The Force will be with you. Always.
This is Ripley, last survivor of the Nostromo, signing off.